If we haven't ever met before, my name is Brian Laws. I'm the assistant pastor here at the church. Very glad for that, serving alongside Pastor Josh Lee. And just super grateful for this evening and this morning to have the Rutagangwa family with us and just lots of good things happening. So really encouraged. Had a block party up in Paradise yesterday. That was really cool as well. So good things happening. Praise the Lord. As a church, we are continuing on in our summer series on the theme of the doctrine of adoption this week. And today, our reflection together will take us into the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. So Hebrews 12, we're looking at verses 3 through 13, and we're thinking especially about adoption from the angle of discipline here tonight. So with that said, if you're not already standing, do please stand at this time for the reading of God's holy and infallible word. Word of God says this. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as it seemed best to them, but he disciplines us for our good, that we may share his holiness. For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Word of God, please remain standing as I pray for us. Good, gracious Father in heaven, thank you so much for this opportunity we have tonight to gather around your word. I pray indeed, Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be pleasing in your sight as you are our Lord, our rock, and our Redeemer. I pray in the name of Christ. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Students, kindergarten through fifth grade, can head to the back, head to Sunday school with Miss Bonnie Bonnie tonight. Thanks, students. Thank you, Bonnie. Okay. So, friends, as we begin tonight to process through this challenging but I think really important topic of discipline, especially discipline from the perspective of our adoption as sons and daughters into God's family, As we go there, I want to focus our attention and center us immediately on verse 6 of the text that we just read together. Verse 6 of Hebrews 12, I think, really does frame so much of the heart of what the author of the book of Hebrews wants to communicate to his original first century audience, his listeners, on this topic of discipline from God. Father. And so, because that was the original author's intent and his focus for his original people, I want that to be our focus, very largely the centerpiece of our reflections here tonight as well. So again, verse 6, Hebrews 12, we just read it, but again, it says this. It says, for the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. So, One of the reasons that I think that divine fatherly discipline, discipline from God, is such an important topic and one that we need to address and discuss with one another as believers is because really hard things just keep happening in life. Again and again and again. Hard things just keep happening for all of us. It's part of our reality, part of our existence. Whether you are a Christian or not, if you kind of step back and zoom out, whether you're young or old, younger, older, I'll add some qualifications there. Categories are too stark. If you're a man, a woman, richer, poorer, doesn't matter. Hard things. It's just a naked reality, a stark truth about human existence in this life. Anyone who's giving an account for reality has to take that into account, the hardship of life. In his book, The Problem of Pain, which some of you may be familiar with, by a guy named C.S. Lewis. Lewis, I was reviewing this book a little bit this week in preparation for the message. At one point, Lewis writes, quote, "We can ignore even pleasure." So as people, he's saying we can ignore a lot of things. We can ignore even pleasure, he says, but pain, he says, pain insists upon being attended to. Basically, I think what Lewis is saying here is, you know, we might be able to ignore, if we try, we might be able to ignore the dessert table at the buffet, you know. We might be able to ignore that ice cream cone if we use that self-control and really dig down deep. But it's really hard to ignore if you, like, really stub your toe. Have you ever done that? Yeah. It's hard to just pretend like that didn't happen. Or if you knock your head against a cabinet. You can't just pretend like that didn't happen. Pain insists upon being attended to in some way. And of course, there are all kinds of pain in this life. Those examples are just that immediate physical pain, but we know there are other kinds, emotional pain, relational pain that we experience in this world, broken by sin and by the fall. So, I think the question becomes then, taking all that into account, how are we, as Christian believers, supposed to think about these things? When trials and sufferings hit home, when they become real, when pain gets personal, what are we to think? Perhaps even more to the point of what the author of Hebrews is getting at in chapter 12, what are we to make of God Himself in these moments? What are we to make of God's heart towards us when trials and when hardships just keep on coming? They break into our reality and they just keep on flowing. What are we to make of God and His heart towards us? So I think it is actually to that very question, to that struggle, that the author of the book of Hebrews reminds his original first century audience in his church that they are adopted. He wants to remind them, he wants to encourage them of their adoption as sons and daughters into God's family in account of this. And he wants to remind them that along with that adoption comes two really important things. First and foremost, love. That as they are adopted, they are loved. Secondly, along with that love comes something else, discipline. Love and discipline. So he says in verse 6, the Lord disciplines the one he loves. And he chastises every son, every person whom he receives, whom he adopts as his own. So the big takeaway truth for you and me here today, tonight, is this. is that if we are indeed adopted children of God through faith, by grace, here tonight, if that's us, then God, as our Heavenly Father, He absolutely is using hard things in our lives to produce eternal good. God is producing eternal good from our hard things. That is truth. It is gospel truth. It is good news. He's using the challenges, the pain, the grief, all of these things which are suffering legitimately, but that are temporary. All of our experiences of pain and challenge are temporary experiences. But we know that God is using all of those things to work His way, to work His will in us. Why? Why is He doing that? Why is He bothering with this project? The text tells us it's because He loves us. Because we are His. Because we've been adopted children into His family. And part of being a loving parent to anyone, part of being a loving parent absolutely is training, it's teaching, it's instruction, and it is discipline. That is part of the deal. It's part of the equation. If you're a parent and a child, it's inherent in that relationship. So, a bit of a personal confession. We think about the father-child relationship. I'm thinking about that a lot this week for my own part. Still a relatively new father myself. It's been a couple years. But my confession, as I've been thinking about these things, is that I have never made any human being cry nearly as much or nearly as often as I have made my own dear, sweet, slightly control-freaky daughter cry over the last 6 to 8 months. Like waterworks. A lot. Often. It's not something, you know, I said it's a confession. It's not something I'm super excited about. It's not something I'm happy about. But it's the truth. It is true. Why? Why is this the case? Why am I making my daughter cry so much? Is it because I'm this mean, horrible person? And like, this is how I entertain myself. I get lots of entertainment from making tiny little people just totally lose their minds. No. I guarantee you that is not it. The truth is that the reason that I have been making my own daughter, whom I love so much, the reason I've been making her just weep and scream and burst into tears again and again and again over the last several months is at least partly because she's two. And that's, you know, two is hard. She's teething. Apparently that's painful. But more importantly, secondly, I'm making her cry because Angie and I, as Abigail's parents, we are trying to figure out very lovingly but very imperfectly what does it mean and what does it look like to faithfully and lovingly discipline our little girl. And there are tears involved. There is sadness, there is frustration, there is confusion. For her too. We're trying to correct her and to train her up in the way that she should go. As it turns out, the Lord Himself, God as our Heavenly Father, is doing this exact same thing with us, for us, to us, correcting and training in love. discipline. Now, of course, the one big difference here, the big caveat, is, you know, where the analogy breaks down, is that the Lord's school of discipline is, it's perfect. He is sinless in his discipline, in his fatherliness. Whereas, you know, the school of discipline in the law's household is not perfect. It's not sinless. As fallen human beings, all of our systems break down at some point. As much as I would like it to be perfect, it's not. So as I'm, you know, I'm getting schooled myself as I'm trying to school and educate and discipline my child. I'm experiencing the father's discipline myself as I try to be a father who disciplines myself. So all that said, just kind of as background, just briefly then, the rest of our time, just really two things I want us to reflect on from this passage that we read in Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 12, regarding discipline, divine, loving, from God discipline. So first question I want to ask and answer is, what is our role, or what is our calling as recipients of discipline? And then secondly, number two, what is the ultimate true goal of God's disciplining process for us? So it's, what is our role? What is the Lord's goal? You like that? Yeah. Rhymes. I don't have PowerPoint slides, but I figured that would be, you could remember that, right?
Yeah.
Our role, God's goal, discipline. Okay. So first, we'll jump into the first thing. Look with me again at verse 11, the text concerning our role as recipients of discipline. Again, Hebrews 11, verse 12 says this. I'll just read it for us. It says, quote, "For the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness for those who have been trained by it." Those who have been trained by it. Also, I'll read just briefly again verse 7 of the text, which says, quote, "It is for discipline that you have to endure." Okay. So what is our role in God's discipline process? Simply put, I think I would say our role is endurance. In the face of discipline, we are called to endure. Our Christian calling in the midst of God's school of hard knocks, whatever that looks like, is to keep on going, to remain faithful. It's a calling to position our own hearts in such a way that we are able to receive hard things from the Lord and to be trained up by those hard things as we receive them, as opposed to becoming either incredibly jaded, overly discouraged, perhaps even embittered by these things that enter our life. Makes me think, as I was reflecting on these things this week, makes me think of the story of Job in the book of Job, the Old Testament. Job, everything was sliding away from him. His whole life seemed to be destroyed in a moment. His wife comes to him and says, "Job, curse God and die." Not great advice, but honest advice, right? That's where he was at in this moment. What does Job say? He says, no. He says, "Shall we receive good from the Lord, but not receive evil?" That's a posture of heart. It's an incredible position of faith. And so, to come back around then, full circle, here's the question. How do we endure? How do we endure? Because I think the truth is, I mean, I could say, go out and endure. you know? Send you off. But how are you going to do that? The only way that you and I will ever be able to do that, to really apply that truth, without becoming jaded and embittered and all these things, is if we truly do believe on a deep level what we already established back in verse 6 of the text, which was what? The Lord disciplines who? Those whom he loves. Hard things happen to you and to me. As these things happen, they are not signs of God rejecting us or hating on us in some way. It's actually quite the opposite. Because I think the truth is, if we are his, if we are truly children of God, adopted by grace and through faith, then hard things are more like invitations to know and to trust God in deeper and truer ways. That's more of what they are than just some kind of like careless, reckless punishment. Like being grounded just for the heck of it. That's not what the Lord's discipline is. It is an invitation to know God, to know him, to know his love deeper and in a new way. So discipline and ultimately endurance in discipline is all about knowing very truly and very deep down, like we sing sometimes here at Vespers, that he is and he will hold us fast in the hard things, in love, come what may. I referenced C.S. Lewis in his book, The Problem of Pain, a little bit ago. In that same kind of paragraph that I referenced earlier, there's another pretty famous quote from Lewis where he says that God whispers to us in our pleasures, but that he shouts to us in pain. Kind of ironically, kind of counterintuitively, I think that one of the things that God is shouting to us in the midst of pain is, I love you. I'm with you in this. So what, question for us, what is lately the posture of your heart, the posture of my heart, towards the challenges that God is allowing to enter into your life? What is the posture of your heart? In the epistle of 1 John chapter 4, John writes to his first century church-going people. And he says, quote, "We have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us." Know and believe. It's not just a cognitive thing. It's a knowing, it's a truth, but it's also a believing, it's a heart. It has gripped them completely. They know and believe God's love. So perhaps a good prayer for us and an application for us from this message would be to pray that kind of a prayer. We pray, Lord God, Father in heaven, help me to know and to believe your love in this situation, in this trial, in this moment, in this struggle now. Help me to know your love afresh. Because love leads to our ability to endure. Love fuels endurance. And endurance is our role, it's our calling in the midst of hardship and in the midst of trial. That's number one. Endurance, our call. Secondly, and this will be brief, more brief, regarding God's design, the Lord's goal in discipline. Look with me again at the second half of verse 10, especially of the text, where the author of Hebrews writes that God the Father, quote, disciplines us for our good so that we may share in his holiness. So that, I made up the so, at least in the ESV there is no so, but it's still, it's that purpose statement. God disciplines us for our good that we may share in his holiness. And then again, on the same theme, look in verse 11. Again, we already read it, but I'll recap again. Look at a slightly different angle of this verse. It says, all discipline seems painful instead of pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. The peaceful fruit of righteousness. It yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. So God's goal for his children in the midst of hardships, I think we could put it a number of different ways. We could say it a bunch of different ways that would not be wrong. But I think the way I'll say it tonight is that the Lord wants maturity for his children. God, as our loving adoptive father, wants his adopted children to continue to go further up and further in all the days of their lives until the day that they see him, that we see him face to face. So he disciplines us to mature us in all kinds of ways. He disciplines us to mature us in love. He disciplines us to show us our weakness and our failings in love. He disciplines us, he allows us to see our shortcomings and our failures when it comes to things like faith and things like peace. Anytime you get anxious or you become angry or anything, that's a sign. That's a place where the love of God has not fully penetrated your being. The Lord disciplines us to grow in us this peaceful fruit of righteousness, to allow us to share in his holiness, his otherness, as his children. And that is God's goal, to grow us, to mature us as his own. Just like I would want my own child to grow in holiness. To grow in maturity, day by day. You know, I don't ever discipline my own child without telling her that I love her. And that, I feel like maybe that's kind of common practice, common wisdom. But, you know, you do the hard thing, whatever that discipline looks like, but then you hug them and you grab them and you say, I love you. Even as you're doing the thing that they hate, you're doing the thing that they don't want you to do. Like, I love you. This is what's right for you. Let's keep going. God does that with us through discipline. So as we continue on in this life, as we face hard things, we need to remember that we have a role in discipline, that God has a goal. Our role is endurance. By pressing into the deep reality of God's love. And God's goal for us is maturity in Christ. I want to close by reading the first few verses of the text that I haven't really paid much attention to yet this whole time that I read. And this is, consider this a call, an exhortation as we come to a close here. So let us indeed consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, Jesus Christ, so that we may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Because in our struggle against sin, we have not yet resisted to the point of shedding our blood. And we must never forget the exhortation, the encouragement that addresses us as sons. Because in that exhortation, in our hardships, in discipline, God's love is made manifest. The love of God is shown and known in hard things. So let us go on in faith, having eyes of faith as we keep stepping into whatever he's calling us into, the deep waters, whatever that is for you. Know that he is with you. Know that he loves you. Endure in love. It closes in prayer. Father, thank you tonight for your truth, for your word. Thank you that we can indeed call you Father, that in and through Jesus Christ and his blood and through the Holy Spirit, we can rest secure in our adoption. And that in that, we know that you are calling us forward. Grow us in your likeness, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brad.